Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Hello, Luke O'Neill here, and welcome to Show Me the Science, my weekly podcast when I pick something that really intrigues me, and especially if it's a breakthrough or new stuff coming up. And this week is a fantastic one, I must say, because it's been all over the media and I've been talking about it. There was a big cancer conference in Chicago and they announced some remarkable new results. Now, every year, all the cancer specialists gather. It's called the American Society for Clinical Oncology, and the word clinical is important because there's a big sort of emphasis on stuff in the clinic, which means new experimental medicines, I guess. And they announce the latest breakthroughs. 35,000 people attended this one. It was held in Chicago, different cities it's held in, and two remarkable breakthroughs were reported. And one of them gave rise to a standing ovation, which is really remarkable because cancer doctors and scientists are very cautious because they worry about sort of overstating things, such as serious disease. To see them get up on their feet and applaud this presentation is something that's quite remarkable. Now, what was this first one that gave rise to a standing ovation? Well, it's pancreatic cancer. Now, as many people know, if you're diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, it's one of the more difficult ones to be diagnosed with because usually it's too late. The symptoms appear, and then you're diagnosed, and the trouble is it's off and running and it's spreading to your liver in various places. So it's a very serious type of cancer. The average survival time from diagnosis is 6 months, which of course is very sort of damaging and disturbing for people. And the big question is, was there any way to slow down or treat pancreatic cancer? And many efforts had failed. Now, it's listed as one of the more difficult ones. And as I've spoken about before, some cancers are very treatable now. And in fact, the overall survival of all cancers combined, we often talk about the 5 year survival, right? How many have survived 5 years? It used to be 1 in 2 about 40 years ago. Now it is 2 in 3 survive. That's all cancers. But the trouble is, pancreatic is still extremely difficult, and around about 6 months survival is the average. 13% at the moment will survive for 5 years. So some do kind of persist and so that they live a bit longer. But overall, there's been a desperate need to do something to help people diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And the new drug that was announced in Chicago, it's called Daraxonrasib. I'll say that again. Daraxonrasib, made by a company called Revolution Medicines. And this drug was able to extend survival by 6 months. So it almost doubled the survival time, which is obviously good. I mean, we'd like to see it go beyond that, of course. But still, doubling the survival time was seen as a huge achievement. And nothing has been seen like this before, hence the standing ovation. So this is what's causing such excitement. Now, as I say, giving you an extra 6 months is good, obviously. But the point is, this is the start, they think, now. Because once they make an initial discovery that shows a benefit, then they might be able to build on that. So the hope now is that maybe there'll be better sort of treatments to combine with this possibly, or change the protocol and extend life for even longer. So the excitement is because nothing has been seen yet that can do this, that can achieve this extension of life in this way. Now, what does this drug do? Well, it targets a protein called RAS, or AS-RAS. Now, I've worked on RAS myself over the years. It's a key on switch in cells that helps cells to grow. And normal RAS, you will see normal RAS, for example, in the immune system. And during an infection, the RAS switch gets flipped and now the immune cells start to divide and grow. It's in T cells, it's in macrophages, and I worked on RAS in macrophages. And it's a normal protein then that allows cells to divide. Now, many years ago, I think as much as maybe 50 years ago, they spot in lots of cancers RAS is mutated. And the mutation rams the RAS switch on. It's what's causing cells to grow too much and then form tumours. Because cancer is effectively cells growing out of control and forming tumours. Now, the word tumour just means swelling. And, you know, hundreds of years ago, doctors would notice these swellings would appear. Those swellings are crammed full of these cancer cells. And the swelling then can damage the organ the cells are in, or the organ doesn't work properly. And then sadly, we see the ill effects of cancer then emerging. So RAS is mutated. It's on and the cells start to divide and divide and divide. And 90% of people with pancreatic cancer have mutated RAS. Now, the mutation begins in the DNA. The code for the RAS protein is in the DNA, obviously. And you mutate the DNA and you get a mutant RAS. And the RAS is now bent out of shape and now it's on and driving proliferation of these cancer cells. So, of course, the dream was, and this dream does go back about 40 years, could you design a drug to stop that RAS, to stop the on switch, if you will, being in overdrive? And it was very hard to drug. And drug companies tried to make drugs to block it and it didn't work. It was called an undruggable target. But for some reason, Revolution Medicines came up with a way to stop RAS. And you give this to the patients, it turns off that on switch and now the cancer then doesn't grow quite so much and then you get a longer survival time is the overall data that they showed. And the trial was an impressive one. It was over 500 people. They had a placebo group as well, which is tough in cancer because those ones aren't benefiting. But still, you need to do a double-blind placebo-controlled trial. And lo and behold, they saw this extension of life by 6 months in those who were treated. Now, there were some side effects because you do need RAS in other tissues. There were skin rashes and mouth sores, little clots formed, and that was troublesome enough. But still, they weren't so severe as to stop the doctors using the drug on the people with the pancreatic cancer. So when this was presented, as I say, there was a big standing ovation. Now, what's going to happen next? Well, the FDA are now looking at this very closely and they're going to fast track it. So we all predict that within a few months, this new drug will be approved and then people with pancreatic cancer will be given this option. And let's hope it happens really fast. Now, it hasn't been approved yet. The FDA are examining the data. They're examining the side effects and trying to make sure the cost benefit is in the right direction. It does seem to be. So we're optimistic that the FDA will approve this drug eventually. It'll be available to people with pancreatic cancer. And as I say, it's seen as the start now of even better ways to make sure that pancreatic cancer isn't quite so severe and damaging as it has been up to this point. Now, the second talk that caused massive excitement was a vaccine for cancer. Now, I've spoken about vaccines for cancer before, but this one really caused excitement. It's a vaccine for melanoma, type of skin cancer, and it was incredible. And it was Moderna, the company that brought us the vaccines in COVID. They used the same technology based on a thing called RNA. And the RNA technology was used in this vaccine, and lo and behold, they got a profound effect. 157 patients. Some were given the vaccine, some weren't. And they got nearly 70% were alive after 5 years, compared to about 60% in the ones not given the vaccine. So 20% more people were alive with melanoma if they were given this vaccine. Now, it's interesting that 50%, you might say, well, look, that's not bad, is it? That half the people were alive anyway after 5 years. Everybody was given an immune booster. And at the moment in cancer, in immunotherapy, a great way to treat cancer is to stimulate the immune system to go and fight the tumour. There are these things called checkpoint inhibitors, and they wake up the immune system. So they all got that. And then the ones given that in combination with the vaccine, they're the ones who show the added benefit. And it makes sense in a way, because the vaccine is training the immune system to hunt down the cancer. And then if you give an immune boost at the same time, you enhance the effect of that vaccine is the idea. It's like a double punch in a way. What was also very impressive was they sequenced the DNA of all the people and they showed that each person was slightly different. So one person would have one set of mutations, another person has a different set, and they made the vaccine specific for the mutations. And there were 34 different mutations and they were used in the RNA to make these 34 different bits of the tumour. It's a bit like each tumour is waving a flag. And in you it might be a red flag, in me it might be a blue flag. I will make a vaccine with the blue flag for me and the red flag for you. But there were 34 flags in each patient that they used here. And they could use the RNA molecules to make the different flags for each patient, if you see what I mean. So it's very personalised. And that's why they think it works so well, because you're now training your immune system to fight the tumour in your body by showing the immune system bits of that tumour. The mutated parts are being shown to the immune system with RNA, and now the immune system go in and hunt down those cancer cells and kill them. And of course, again, the excitement was big because here we have a substantial increase in the number of people surviving, and it's through your own immune system being geared up to fight that tumour. And what's very important is, and the evidence in this was really clear, the big fear in cancer is you get rid of it with chemo or with other approaches, the fear is they'll come back. and recur. We call this recurrence. If that happens and you've had a vaccine, the immune system is ready and waiting. The trained troops are there already to re-attack that tumour when it re-emerges. So the fear of recurrence now has gone down because of this as well. And another reason calls for celebration. So in other words, you are stopping people developing cancer and getting really sick and then ultimately, sadly, dying. You're also training the immune system to fight the cancer should it recur. So it's seen as a big achievement. Now, what's also the case is that there's a huge number of trials running with other cancer vaccines. At the moment, there are 32 trials running with RNA vaccines for cancer. In lung, bladder, pancreatic again, colorectal, breast and kidney are the main ones as we speak. So if this continues, we will have vaccines for all those cancers. And what it will mean is people will live 5, 10, 15, 20 years post-diagnosis is the idea. We may not cure it, but we'll certainly allow people to survive longer is the overall goal and the overall ambition at the moment. And that will be through these sorts of approaches, especially using vaccines against cancer. So a really good news story because on the one hand with RAS, we have a drug to block RAS and it'll stop pancreatic cancer. The other story is an even better way to get the immune system now to go after the tumour and kill it. So these two talks and presentations caused great excitement. One last couple of things I spotted as well in the proceedings at the conference overall was exercise. Get this. If you take regular exercise, you decrease your risk of dying from colorectal cancer by 37%. Isn't that amazing? Now, we've known exercise can be beneficial, but there was a really good trial to show the beneficial effects of exercise in that way, and that stood out for me as well. And lastly, another one that stood out was these drugs are expensive. So any kind of immunotherapy, say the checkpoint I mentioned earlier, and certainly the vaccines are going to cost a lot of money. And you want these things to get to people and be affordable and have equity and access. This is going to be a huge topic now because as soon as these things start getting approved, you'll want them to be used widely. Now, what about cost? Well, a group from India used one of these immune boosting agents, an immunotherapy agent, and they tried a tenth the dose as is normally recommended. And guess what? It worked as well as the full dose. Now, that means that we're giving too much of these things to people. And if you give a tenth of it, it's going to be a lot cheaper, isn't it? So again, that's heading in the direction of making these things available to people and making sure that as many people as possible can get access to these therapies. So maybe in the future, they'll be even cheaper is the overall idea. And I think overall then, what we can say is, and people are saying this, that meeting in Chicago, one of the most exciting among the clinical oncologists in a while. Lots of people hearing about these great advances. And as ever, the level of excitement that we've got cancer finally on the run was certainly evident at that meeting of the American Society for Clinical Oncology. And watch this space. There's going to be more and more trial results are going to be revealed in the coming months as well. So we really got to have the feeling that, as I say, at last, cancer is no longer a disease to be feared, but instead it's to be beaten using these various approaches. So there you have it, the science of the American Society for Clinical Oncology and the latest breakthroughs in cancer research. And thanks as ever for listening. And my podcast is a News Talk production, available every Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.